Hey, it's Carissa.
Hey, it's Maddie.
You're not watching the Disney Channel right now.
You're listening to
Dreadfully Twisted. Hello, everybody.
Dreadfully Twisted's back again. Dreadfully Twisted's back. Tell your friends, and family.
So we're back after another 2 week hiatus.
Yes. We are sorry. We missed you.
Okay, life, I'm just going to be real with you. Life has just been so busy for me. I got a new job. Well, getting a new job, so
first
that
you're sick, and then you're
yeah. So I was sick for 2.5 weeks, so that was not fun or pleasant or great at all in any way. So and then I just finally started recuperating from that, and then I got a new job, so I've been trying to like do all the stuff that I need to do for that, which has been a lot. So I've been very busy, so I'm very sorry. So yeah, but yeah. So yeah. I don't know. Anything new with you?
Not really.
Yeah, so I got a new job. I'm leaving my... I don't care. I'm going to say this because I know people from my work listen to this, but I don't really care. My job was a little bit too much, so I'm glad to be leaving and finding something new. But now I'll have more time, which is so nice, whenever I do start the new job. So that'll be good.
Yes.
But this week... Stress. Yeah, less stress. Oh, wait. I think I had something spooky happen at my house.
Ooh, spooky.
I'm looking at the video. Is it even playing? Or is that just a picture? That's just a picture. I think I had another orb or something. But I don't know where the video went. So I'll try to find it. But speaking of spooky, this week we are doing... Well, no, because this is our 70th episode, right?
Yeah.
70th. Oh, and then also, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. Tomorrow, even though today is Friday the 23rd, tomorrow the 24th, it was 2 years of the podcast.
Woo!
2 years. It's crazy. So if you guys have listened for this long and have been putting up with us and dealing with our little hiatuses that we do, we appreciate you so much. Yes. And we will, once I get this new job, we will really try to do better. It's just... life has been busy, and then I got sick, and then it was just awful.
Yeah.
So today is our 70th episode, and that's extra special because it's also our 2 years. We are doing, okay, I need to say this right, Appalachia stories.
Yes.
From the Appalachian Mountains. Okay. I want to say Appalachia so bad.
Yes, Appalachian, that is what I have said my entire life, but we literally looked it up, and apparently it is pronounced Appalachia.
Yeah, Appalachia.
Which is crazy, and my mind is blown.
I'm just like, it's not spelled like that.
No, and like, nobody ever said it like that before. Like,
no, I've oh my gosh, I cannot speak now. I've heard people say it like that.
Maybe they
on
have
podcasts.
Now that I think about it, like on TV or something.
Yeah.
That's wild. I always thought they were the ones pronouncing it wrong. Oop.
No. It's us.
No. Yeah, it's us.
I realized that because I pronounce everything wrong. So I'm going to go into, I'll talk about a little bit about where they are, and then you can read your first story.
Okay.
So that, oh my gosh. The Appalachian Mountains, often called the Appalachians, are a mountain range in eastern to northeastern North America. The term Appalachian refers to several different regions, oh my gosh, associated with the mountain range and its surrounding terrain. The general definition used in one following by the United States Geological Survey of the Geological Survey of Canada described the oh my gosh, why can I not speak? I'm not reading that. So they're let me just see what states they cover because that'll probably be easier. So the states at the cover is, wait, that's not states. That's just saying, oh, it goes into, Canada, I guess.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It goes into Newfoundland and Labrador, St. Pierre and Miquelon, Quebec, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Delaware, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. So that are the, those are the states that they cover. That's all I'm going to go about that, because that's just way too much to read here. It's just going to go into too much of it. But apparently they are older than the Rocky Mountains.
Wow.
So that does show something. If you want to go with your story.
Okay.
I got to find mine.
First, I just want to, like, you know, superstitions, like, don't walk under a ladder, stuff like that. Black cat, everything like that.
Yeah.
Here's some. Appalachian. Yeah?
Yeah.
Superstitions.
Appalachian.
Okay. Never close a knife you didn't open, or you'll have bad luck for 7 years.
Huh?
That's really weird.
That's crazy.
Never use a knife that you didn't open?
Yeah. Never close a knife that you didn't open.
Oh, okay. So, like, if, say, like, if you open the knife, I couldn't close it.
Yeah, like, or if you see a knife just open, don't close it.
Well, why would you want to touch a knife that's just there? It's not yours.
I mean, it's probably dangerous if it's just, like, sitting out. Someone, I feel like if, I feel like my, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of scary now I think about it.
Huh.
But I mean, sometimes people are probably just like, oh, open knife. It's instinct to just, like, close it so it's safer, but.
If I see an open knife, like, in my yard or something, I'm not touching that.
No.
It might be, part of a crime scene.
Exactly. True crimers.
That's what my mind automatically goes to, into something like that.
Keep a penny in your washer. Speaking of pennies, did you say that they're stopping, like, pennies? Like, there's not going to be any more pennies, like, made.
No, I did not see that. No.
They're not making any more. Like, I don't know if they're, like, going away altogether, if they're just, like, done making.
That's weird.
Yeah. Don't wash clothes on New Year's Day, or you wash a family member out. I heard about that one before.
I know about that one. I don't live, I live by that now.
Yeah.
I refuse to wash clothes on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
Oh, hey, I just said this one. Don't walk under a ladder. If you find yourself under one, don't turn around. Back up. Don't let anyone sweep under your feet. If a bad storm is coming, put a two-edged axe into a stump facing the storm to ensure the storm goes around you. What kind of paranormal stuff is that? That's crazy.
It's like just witchcraft.
Gonna, like, ignore it. Like, I know. That's what I was. Yeah, exactly. Just gonna go around the house. That's crazy. That work? That's insane.
I don't know. I kind of want to try it. But we don't live in the
I want to know.
We don't live in the Appalachian.
Exactly. Appalachia. It sounds so weird because I feel like it should be Appalachia.
That's what my mind wants to say.
I know. Don't cut your baby's hair before their first birthday. Don't let a pregnant woman see a dead person, or the baby will have a birthmark.
Wait, what?
Don't let a pregnant woman see a dead person, or the baby will have a birthmark.
Okay.
That's weird. Hold your breath when you pass a cemetery, or you'll be the next to die. Oh, that's terrifying.
How about I just never pass a cemetery?
Although I passed many cemeteries, and I'm still here. Well, we also don't live in Appalachia, so.
Yeah. But I can't say that I can't pass the cemetery, because there's a cemetery right by my house that I pass every single day coming home from work. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely don't hold my breath when I do that. But again, we don't live in those mountains, so.
Yeah.
But if we did, I'd be screwed, though. If those superstitions are really true,
yeah.
I'd be like, well, all the bad luck here.
If you're walking with someone, you have to go on the same side of a post or obstacle, or it will break your friendship.
I do that now. I do that now. I go with the same, with the person.
That's sad. I never heard about that one.
I have.
Never leave a rocking chair rocking, or you will invite spirits. Huh. That's creepy.
Weird.
Yeah, that's all of those.
I have more, but I gotta get to it. It's not. You can go next.
Oh, I was gonna try to find the one where it was like the rules of Appalachia. Give me one second.
Okay.
Oh, it's because I sent myself page 2 when I needed to send myself page 1.
I have a missing persons case on here, I think.
Okay, here we go. Here are the rules of here are the 5 rules of Appalachia. And I'm just going to read this little thing from this person. It says, growing up in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, you come to abide by an unspoken set of rules. No one talks about these rules. There's no list plastered somewhere or scrawled in a big, important-looking book. I'm not even sure where most of them came from. My great uncle, who lives in the mountains all of his life, probably couldn't even tell you why these rules were put into place. But he followed them like they were God's own commandments. Now I can finally see why they were so important to him. These mountains have a way of playing with your mind. People go missing. People get killed. They say nothing is certain except death and taxes. But deep in the hollows of the Appalachia, disappearances are top of the lists. So here are the 5 rules. 1. Never be in the woods from dusk till dawn. 2. Never leave the marked trail. It's marked off for a reason. 3. If you hear voices close to you, they're far away. But if you hear voices are far away, then they're near. And if the voices are saying your name, do not answer them.
That's terrifying.
4. Do not whistle or sing in the woods. 5. Never look too hard into the trees. You might not like what you see.
I've heard a lot of, like, whistle.
Yeah.
Like, stories of people hearing whistles and stuff.
Well, remember, we don't live in those mountains, but remember whenever I heard that whistling in my yard?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Terrifying.
And I immediately booked it to my door, and I got
I'd book it too.
That still scares me. I'm like, I don't know, and it sounded like it was far away, so it probably was near.
Yeah.
Even though we don't live there, but like, you know. So I'm just gonna read a little bit more about what this person said. As a kid, I always figured those rules of his were referring to the wildlife in the forest propensity to turn you around and disorient you before you had time to check a map or compass. Anyone can understand why it might be a bad idea to be wandering out in the woods after dark with no trail to keep you from walking off a cliff. Of course, you wouldn't want to be too loud out there either. Appalachian Mountains are home to dangerous critters. You definitely wouldn't want to call right to you unless you, for some masochistic reason or another, are hoping to be mauled or torn limb from limb. But what I didn't know back then was that my uncle didn't drill these rules into my head to keep me sane from bears, coyotes, and bobcats. No, there's other predators that lurk in the shadows of those woods, ones that don't like when you break the rules. If I had known what I know now, I would have never had forsaken what my uncle taught me. What? Wait, what? Okay, I might read this whole thing.
I know. That's crazy.
I would have carried on the tradition with my little brother and taken over my uncle's job, instilling those rules into his head. This is gonna get sad.
No.
Maybe if I had, he would still be here. No. It's been a year since my little brother went missing. An entire year has passed since the Appalachian swallowed him up in one gulp, leaving no trace of his existence behind. Even the search dogs and rescue parties that scanned every accessible nook, cave, and cranny of the woods in a 20-mile radius for days on end came up with nothing to show except for a few small bare footprints. Oh no. And the mud on the outskirts of the tree line. I blame my parents for the longest time. After all, they were the ones that made my brother and I leave our lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and everything we've known just to move to some rundown farmhouse on the outskirts of a dying town. When my uncle passed my sophomore year of high school, he willed the house to my father, who wasn't going to pass up the opportunity to own his very own hog farm, even if it meant he had to move Lost Cove to all places. That name seems pretty fitting, huh? Lost Cove, the place where there's a missing flyer in every shop window and the telephone poles are full of staple leftovers from the advertisement promising a hefty reward for the return of a beloved family pet or loved one who vanished into thin air. Disappearances here is common as a pastor preaching fire and brimstone every Sunday morning from the pulpit. It's bound to happen. But the thing is, you never think it'll happen to you or your family, especially not a child as innocent as my little brother. His overactive imagination and curiosity became his downfall in the end. That's so sad.
That is sad.
I want to read this because it goes... It just keeps going into, like, more descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, like, the gist of it. And that's so sad.
That is sad. I found a really creepy one on Reddit.
Which one?
It says, can anyone identify what I experienced in the Appalachian Mountains?
Okay, go ahead.
So I've been seeking around in some Facebook groups to try and see if anyone can identify what happened to me, so I figured I'd ask Reddit. I've been hit with the overwhelming skinwalker comments. However, someone notified me that there are no skinwalkers in the Appalachian Mountains. So please tell me what you think. Has anyone experienced anything similar? I can't find anything online about it, and maybe someone in here could tell me if they've heard of it. So I live in the Appalachian Mountains, and twice since moving here, I've witnessed something staring through my window.
Ugh.
Two separate occasions, where it looks like someone I know, but it's not because their eyes are off.
Oh!
That's terrifying. Almost like they're too big to be human eyes, and they're almost bulging. First one was my dad, and the other was a guy who I was talking to. I know for a fact neither of them would have been staring at me through my window. First time, I was laying in bed, and my, in quotations, dad was staring just through the window the window in between some bushes. Second time was years later, was in a different room, and the foundation is taller due to my land being on an incline. I got up close to my window, and before I actually got to do it, I got this weird feeling as if something was there, and lo and behold, I was looking in its eyes, and it was staring up at me. Never acknowledged either, because I'm not dumb. But does anyone have any idea of what it could be? It's been bugging me for years.
Skinwalker.
That's terrifying.
Skinwalker. That is scary. I think, like, I guess I don't think about this because, like, I have curtains up and I make it so I can't see outside, especially at night.
Mm-hmm.
If I have any of the windows open at for some reason, when the curtains are open, I'll shut them because it freaks me out because yeah. I do not want to see anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, does this person not have curtains on their windows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. It's so scary. I don't know what I would do if I saw that.
Terrifying. Like, the eyes are totally, ew.
Ugh.
Creepy.
So I have one here that's pretty scary. I also found it on Reddit.
Everyone was saying to ask in, like, paranormal groups, too.
Oh, yeah. There's probably a lot in those groups. Yeah. I didn't even think about looking there. But also, a lot of the cryptids come from the Appalachian Mountains, like mm-hmm. Mothman, the yeah. Bell Witch, because
yep.
West Virginia is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I also found a lot of those, too, but I thought that would be, like, a separate one, because those are, like, mm-hmm. cryptids, but
yeah.
So this one doesn't have a title. It's just from people, from like a Reddit thread saying, I'd love to hear your spooky Appalachia stories. So here is this one. My boyfriend was born and raised in Jellicoe Mountain in Jellicoe, Tennessee, as his family or several generations have lived there. His dad had a story that he'd shared before he passed last year, and it's definitely scary AF. He was coon hunting with a friend when he was a young man, and they heard their dogs go after it. Y'all all know that deep bang sound they make when they treat a coon. So they heard it and they start hot footing it up the mountain when all of a sudden these dogs start screaming. They followed the sound and came up on a gigantic black panther ripping these what?
Talking is hard.
No. I don't want to finish that sentence.
Oh. Oh, God.
Trigger warning. The dogs die.
No.
They came up on the gigantic Black Panther, ripping these dogs apart. One dog was already dead, another was injured and trying to crawl away. The Panther was in the process of mauling the last one. They immediately fired their guns at the Panther, and for a minute it acted like it was going to charge them as they fired again and shot it this time. It ran away, and so did they. They came back the next day for the dogs, but this guy refused to leave his dogs to rot. They were his pets, not just coon hounds. But anyway, when they came back, they brought six other people with them, all armed with guns, but they didn't find the Panther. Two of the dogs were still there, but they never found the third dog. It had been dragged off. There were huge Panther tracks around the area with blood from the dogs, so that they confirmed that they weren't just imagining what they saw. They wrapped the dogs in tarps and to drag them home to bury them and avoid the particular area for future hunting. They never saw it again, but never forgot it either. And yes, they both were positive. It was solid black and seemed larger than a regular Panther should be. Somebody said, interesting, I recommend you do a little study on the Pitty Pat cryptid in eastern Tennessee.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking it could be a cryptid.
Yeah.
I don't want to look up the
I know, that's cryptid. What I was thinking too.
Pitty Pat cryptid. Pitty. I can type. Pitypat is a shadowy creature that inhabited the area since late 1860s and has been subject of ridicule, disbelief, fear, storytelling, entertainment, and many descriptors. However, for many people who have encountered the Pitypat, there is a total sense of belief and fear in its existence. The original story involved a young woman accompanying her baby in the horse-drawn carriage. Supposedly one night, shortly after making the sharp turn approaching the split between Shipley Hollow and Doddery Ferry Road, the creature made its move on the couple and the horse. The horse sensed danger and spooked, taking off and eventually causing the buggy to overturn, spilling the passengers onto the roadside. The creature had then carried off the baby, which was never seen again. That was the beginning of the set of horror accounts that came about for the next 153 years or so. What?
Okay.
Ugh.
That is...
Dessert. There's another one. In the late 1890s, steamboat captain Samuel P. Elisa was in the process of returning to his home in the hollow one night when some shadowy creature got after him in the same area where the young lady's baby was carried off, just a couple hundred yards past the mill dam. Samuel drove his poor... I don't know what that is, but drove into... He pulled up to the yard and ran to the door. He was reportedly told the house owner that he was staying at his house that night because some kind of spook was close on his heel. After putting the horse in the barn, Sam told the resident to scoot over to the bed because I'm staying with you tonight. Unsuspecting people would be walking up to the hollow and they would hear pity pat, pity pat, pity pat in the darkened woods. No, thank you.
Nope.
Now, let me just say this right here and now that no one wanted to listen to the sound of something pity patting through the woods at night because it was proof positive that the booger was coming to do something so much bodily harm. Sound like a large creature running behind the person, barely audible except for the faint pity pat sound. People would whirl around and look and nothing, and then the pity pat sound again and. That was when the rubber met the road. That's when the shout was heard, run, run for your life, and run, everyone did. They took off like a shot. I hate to tell the sports people this, the sprinters in Pity Pat Hollow for 100 years ago, they shattered 3-mile record by a minute and a half because the sprinters were not running for medals or accolades. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
I want to see what this thing is supposed to look like. I don't want to go further into that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show what it looks like. That's freaky, though. You can do your next one if you want.
Okay. Since if there's a different one, because I found another one, but this one's super long.
So. This one's super short. If it's super long, you can read it if you want.
Okay.
I'll just read this short one real quick. I used to trail run Kennesaw... Where and there was a weird cut in the trail that I like to take because it shortened the journey, but it would take me past an old abandoned house. It was strange and felt like it didn't belong there. One of the windows was broken. out and the curtains were still hanging. Every single time I ran past that house, I got a weird vision of a woman recently married picking out those curtains, having a family and a life in the house and everyone dying before her, and her just sitting in a chair thinking wistfully of the past while staring at the curtains in the broken window. One day while passing, I stopped and just sent a mental wish of goodwill to that energy. A few minutes later, I stopped to tie my shoe and I felt like someone was watching me, so I froze. I looked up and there was a fawn staring at me, not but a foot away from me. It was absolutely gorgeous. I've never seen a deer let that close up before and was just shocked that it was as close as it was. We stared at each other for a long moment, and when I moved, it disappeared in an instant. That gave me chills.
That is terrifying.
That gave me so much chills.
Wow.
This one's pretty scary.
Go ahead, you can read that one. I'm still trying to find the difference.
So, okay. My granny lived in a cabin on 7 acres in the Appalachian, Virginia. No cable or internet, stand naked in your driveway and the neighbors won't see kind of place. After she died when I was in high school, we moved there. I never found the place creepy, but it scared the ever-living crap out of my friends. Some background. Granny had been digging and found a very long bone buried in the hillside next to a very old liquor bottle. What this means, I have no idea. It was completely glass on two sides of the main road. Everyone always says that they feel like someone is watching them. It's wooded on that side and the mountains on the other. I had 3 girls staying over that night. I had passed out and they were all wide awake because they were scared. My parents were asleep. They said they all distinctly heard a coin drop on the floor and roll down the hallway. Ugh.
Oh my gosh.
There was a tunnel about a quarter mile up the road from the cabin's driveway. Nothing to do in that town. Teenagers sacrificed animals there in the 90s. Everyone says it's demonic. When a couple of the same friends and I were coming up underneath the tunnel at night, something was in the road and I almost hit it. It was fleshy and twisted, bigger than a raccoon and smaller than a person. I was driving so I didn't look back, but my friend turned around and got a better look at it. I, to this day, have no idea what the creature was. Stopped going under that bridge at night. Another time coming under the tunnel by myself in broad daylight, the radio cut out as I was coming up on the curve of the tunnel and entrance and started playing a very distorted and garbled clip of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. It sounds funny, but it was chilling. Every hair on my body stood up, and as soon as I was away from the bridge, the radio signal came back in. I drove under it all the time and never had a signal issue before or since. Pretty sure that entire area was just cursed or something. That's scary.
That is scary.
If I'm driving and I hear a demonic, distorted garble of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, I am burning that car down.
Exactly.
I am not driving that car anymore. I will refuse to leave and drive. That's scary. No, thank you.
Okay, so this one's crazy.
Okay.
I'm just gonna summarize it because I can't find like a good direct. Hold on a second. Okay. A hiker survived for 26 days after disappearing off the Appalachian Trail and wrote desperate journal entries and text messages that have only recently reached her family. This was in 2016, not recently, but recently then.
I keep thinking, I'm like, oh, that was like 9 years ago. I'm like, oh, that was just like last year.
I know. I'm like, that wasn't that long ago.
That was 9 years ago. Oh my God. Okay. So that was not recent. No, it wasn't.
According to documents newly released, Geraldine Largay, known to her friends as Jerry, disappeared on July 22nd, 2013, after leaving the trail to relieve herself. Warden said in the report she remained missing for over 2 years. They could not find this woman for 2 years.
Huh?
The only clear clue investigators had was a photo of her taken early the morning she went missing near a log lean-to whose 3 walls are covered by a corrugated tin roof and a fire pit nearby. In a notebook entry dated August 6, 2013, 2 weeks after she lost her way, Largay made a desperate plea, quote, When you find my body, please call my husband George and my daughter Carrie.
What? That she gave wrote, me chills.
I know. She wrote, quote, it will be the greatest kindness of them to know that I am dead and where you found me, no matter how many years from now. Please find it in your heart to mail the contents of this bag to one of them. How did she know she was going to die? That's crazy. Like, I mean, like, maybe, but like, did she really get that lost? That's crazy.
It's possible. Because, like, if you get in the woods, you get so turned around that you don't know which way to go.
2 years.
But that's insane. Did she die?
The documents show that Largay tried to text her husband after she lost her way at about 11 a.m. that day. She wrote, quote, also, this is all, like, spelled very crazily. Like, she's typing really fast. That's what it
probably
looks like.
Probably panicking.
Yeah. In some trouble, got off trail to go to BR, bathroom. Now lost. Can you call AMC to see if a trail maintainer can help me? Somewhere north of the woods road. XOX. That the text never sent because of the poor or non-existent cell service.
Oh, no.
She tried to find higher ground. The text. The wardens wrote and attempted to send the text 10 more times in the next hour and a half. She eventually camped down for the night. The next day, she tried to text again with an undelivered message at 4:18 p.m. Lost since yesterday. Off trail for 3 or 4 miles. Call police for what to do, please. XOX. That's so sad. She's like really trying to get help and no, she can't. Nobody's getting it.
Mm-hmm.
By the next day, George Largay was concerned and the official search began. That was her husband. Over the next few weeks, it expanded past the warden service to include search aircraft, state police, national park rangers, and fire departments.
But she's only like 3 or 4 miles off. How did they not find her?
Exactly. It's crazy. It pursued hikers, tips, scouted side trails, and set dogs to searching to no avail. Heavy rains that week obscured the trail, and Largay remained lost, a face on trail signpost for other hikers to look for. Insane.
I can hear Charlie Brown licking himself.
I know, he's
thinking about it. So cute.
They also found her notebook, moss growing on it, titled George, Please Read, XOXO. That makes me so sad.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry. Because I can just imagine if that was me trying to get a hold of Jeremy, I'd be panicking.
I know.
And like,
and, like, these days, you cannot go, like, hiking and stuff by yourself.
Yeah.
It's too dangerous.
Like, I can't even imagine how scared she was.
I know. A medical examiner ruled that Largay had died of exposure.
Oh, I was hoping she didn't die.
I
was like, come on, some miracle could happen here. She doesn't die.
She dies. I want to see, like, hold on.
Is that thunder?
Yeah.
Is it even supposed to storm tonight?
They found her in a makeshift campsite.
Oh.
3 miles from where she was last seen on the Appalachian Trail. That's, like, so close. Like, it just makes me so sad.
How did they not,
like,
find her?
I don't know.
And she was
found
2 years after?
Yeah.
Does it say how long she passed away before they found her?
It just said the discovery was made in October 2015, about 2 years after her disappearance.
Mm.
That's so sad. I feel like she just gave up. Like, she probably just gave up after trying so hard.
Yeah. That is very sad.
Yeah.
Appalachian mountains are scary.
They are.
Let me find one or two more, because I have a bunch here. Okay, this one's pretty scary. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but I've heard of these things before. This one's also from Reddit, I believe. But here is one. I grew up there in Western Maryland in the Appalachian Mountains. Not deer are we real. So these things are called not deer. They look like deer, but they're not actually deer. They're the most terrifying thing ever, I think. They don't seem to be dangerous, but they are a thing that you will encounter there. Late at night and off the beaten paths, they don't like being around people, and Appalachia is a great place if you don't want to be around people. They look a lot like deer, at a glance. Just typically deer don't twitch, not like this. They look like they are there, but also aren't, and they also have absolutely no fear of people. The twitching is like they are popping in and out of being there fast and getting details wrong. Eyes on the wrong side of the head, for example, or I've heard them having tentacles or standing upright. What?
No.
The typical advice is not to take another glance, though I have not heard of any confirmed cases if a not deer ever becoming hostile once it's been spotted. The stories are about them being hostile do seem to be folklore. Seems like everyone who has ever been hurt in one of these sightings hurt themselves in their panic to get away. Though we know that only because they survived, so we might not have biased information because dead men tell no tales. What they actually are is up for debate, with most people obviously not taking us seriously, but I've seen one. I was leaving my girlfriend's place one night in West Virginia and had turned back towards Kaiser, and suddenly it was on the road just in front of me. It looked like it was smiling, and it was huge, and then I just didn't hit it. It just dematerialized and wasn't there anymore, and too many other people I also have, and I'm thinking, well, we all can't be crazy. That's scary.
That is scary.
If I am driving and I see a deer sitting there twitching, smiling, and huge, and then it just dematerialized in front of me, I think I'd be like, I'm never driving this road ever again in my whole entire life.
Same. Moving.
Moving as soon as that happens.
Yep.
What the heck? Oh, here's one, but it's kind of long. Oh, geez, this isn't really long. I think I'm going to save this one for the next time because that one's super long. But I'll have one here if you want me to read it real quick. It's kind of small. Probably be the last one unless you have other ones.
No, I can't find anything else.
Okay. This happened back in 2003. I lived in Western North Carolina and I worked doing taxes back then. And every year on April 16th when the tax season was over, I liked to go hiking. It was a nice way to embrace the calm of nature after a wild and woolly tax season. One of my favorite hiking trails in the area is at Mingus Mill overpass Cherokee. If you haven't been, go. It's a beautiful trail that starts at the mill and runs for a very long while by a beautiful little creek. It also goes by a very old cemetery once you get back there. So it's the day after tax season and I'm hiking with a man that will become my ex-husband, but we were in the early stages of dating at this point. It's a beautiful spring day, clear and sunny skies, about 65 degrees for the high. We brought a little picnic lunch so we could eat, just hike, and not have to go back to town to eat. So we hiked, ate lunch on the trail, and hiked more. We hiked a long way past the cemetery, and we are pretty far out there, and it's maybe around 2 o'clock. We are way out there on the trail and haven't seen any other hikers in maybe an hour or so. My future ex is hiking in front of me on a narrow part of the trail, and we are talking. What happened next was so weird. I don't know what it was or how it happened, and it has never happened again. So we are hiking and talking, and suddenly we hear a car. And we don't hear a car approaching and getting closer. It's like if you just suddenly hear a car engine running and that popped into existence and then cut off. As soon as it happened, my ex turned around and looked at me like, WTF. I looked at him just as confused. Then we looked there for 15 minutes talking about it, and you could also feel the vibration in the ground. I at first thought maybe a Forest Service road was nearby or something, but I've looked at the map since then and there are not one near where I think we were on the trail. Even if there had been, you would have heard a car sound approach and get louder or fade away. It was like a car had just materialized into existence, the sound of it anyway, and then someone turned the key off. And since this was before smartphones, it wasn't someone playing a sound, and even if that was the case, it wouldn't have made the ground vibrate. There were no earthquakes in that area that day either. I wanted to continue hiking for another hour, but my ex was really freaked out, so we started heading back to the parking lot. He later said that he was worried if it was a bare ground, and I said I did not think that was what it was. What was that? Anyone else experience something similar? That's weird.
That is weird. Yeah, I think I'm going to just stay out of the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm safe where I am.
I think I'm good.
Rule one for me, just don't appear there. Just don't go.
Exactly.
Just don't go. That's how you could stop it. I don't know. I've always been so, interested in the Appalachian Mountains. Because I hear so much stuff about it. I hear so much, it's just so crazy. But if you guys listening have any stories about the Appalachian Mountains and you would like to share them with us, please share them to our email at dreadfullytwistedpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to our Reddit page, r/dreadfullytwistedpod, or you can also comment on our Facebook discussion group called Dreadfully Twisted Podcast Discussion Group. You can rate the podcast wherever you listen. So if you do rate it, give us five stars. And please follow our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Dreadfully Twisted Podcast, I think. Yeah. And yeah, you can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with
your family and friends.
Yeah, sorry. My brain is just you're done for today. And we really appreciate you guys putting up with us and dealing with us not recording the last 2 weeks. Again, we are very, very sorry. It's just life just got really busy the last couple weeks with me being sick and everything. So
don't worry. We'll get it together. We'll get it together. Don't worry.
We will. We promise. It's just been tough, but we really appreciate you guys, and we will see you guys next week.
Yes.
Okay, we love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Bye.